Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Tara, His Divine Grace, Sesi Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, His Divine Grace, ISKCON BBT Founder and Charya, Our Lord and Master, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Puri Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Oh. Hare Krishna, good morning. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 3rd chapter, the birth of Lord Krishna. Are we chanting verse 36 or 37 and 38? Which is?
All three.
All three, okay. So, first one. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, text 36, which is does not have a purport. So, word by word. Evam, in this way. Vam, for both of you. Tapyato, executing austerities. Tivram, very severe. Tapa, austerity. Paramadhuskaram, extremely difficult to execute. Divya Varsha, celestial years, or years counted according to the higher planetary system. Sahasrani, thousand. Dvadasa, 12. Hiyu, past. Mat Atmano, simply engaged in consciousness of me.
Evam vam tapyato, evam vam tapyato stivram.
Evam vam
tapyato stivram. Tapaparam duskaram. Tapaparam duskaram. Divya Varsha Sahasrani.
Divya Varsha Sahasrani.
Tadasayur Madatmanau. Tadasayur Madatmano. Evam Vantapyato Stivram. Tapa param maduskaram. Divya Varsha Sahasrani. Tadasyor madatmano.
So is everybody going to chant all three verses? Is that what happened? So this is the one we chant? Okay, so please chant.
Evam Divya Varsha Sahasrani, Tadasyor Madatmano.
Srila Prabhupada's translation. Thus you spent 12,000 celestial years performing difficult activities of tapasya in consciousness of me, Krishna consciousness. Then text 37 and 38.
Tadavam puritusto pushti tadavam puritusto Amunava pusang nage tapasa shraddaya nityam bhaktya cha hirde bhavita padusara samvaradarad yuvayor
kamaditsaya vrityattam varayityukte madrisho vamvritasita.
Translation. O sinless Mother Devaki, after the expiry of 12,000 celestial years, in which you constantly contemplated me within the core of your heart with great faith, devotion, and austerity, I was very much satisfied with you. Since I am the best of all bestowers of benediction, I appeared in the same form as Krishna to ask you to take me to take from me the benediction you desired. You then expressed your desire to have a son exactly like me. Purport. 12,000 years on the celestial planet is not a very long time for those who live in the upper planetary system, although it may be very long for them, for those who live on this planet. Sutapa was the son of Brahma, and as we have already understood from the Bhagavad Gita 8:17, one day of Brahma equals many millions of years according to our calculation. Sahasra yuga paryantam aharyad brahmano vidu. We should be careful to understand that to get Krishna as one son, one must undergo such great austerities. Confirmation. If we want to get the Supreme Personality of Godhead to become one of us in this material world, this requires great penance. But if we want to go back to Krishna, Tvakta deham punar janma nayete mamiti sorajana, we need only understand him and love him. Through love only, we can very easily go back home, back to Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore declared, Prema Pumarto Madan, love of Godhead is the highest achievement for anyone. As we have explained, in worship of the Lord there are three stages, Jnana, Jnanamayi, and Rati, or love. Sutapa and his wife Prishni inaugurated their devotional activities on the basis of full knowledge. Gradually, they developed love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when this love was mature, the Lord appeared as Vishnu, although Devaki then requested him to assume the form of Krishna. To love the Supreme Personality of Godhead more, we want a form of the Lord like Krishna or Rama. We can engage in loving transactions with Krishna, especially. In this age, we are all fallen, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to bestow upon us love of Godhead directly. This was appreciated by the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami said, Namo Mahavananaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namini Goratize Namaha. In this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described as Mahavananaya, the most munificent of charitable persons, because he gives Krishna so easily that one can attain Krishna simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We should therefore take advantage of the benediction given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we are cleansed of all dirty things, Chaito Darpana Marjanam, we shall be able to understand very easily that Krishna is the only object of love. Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangaparam Vrajat. Therefore, one need not undergo severe penances for many thousands of years. One need only learn how to love Krishna and always be engaged in his service. Sevan mukihi jivado swayameva sparatyahada. then one can very easily go back home, back to Godhead. Instead of bringing the Lord here for some material purpose, to have a son or whatever else, if we go back home, back to Godhead, a real relationship with the Lord is revealed, and we eternally engage in our eternal relationship. By chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we gradually develop our eternal relationship with the Supreme Person, and thus attain the perfection called Swarupa Siddhi. We should take advantage of this benediction and go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has therefore sung, Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatara. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as an incarnation to deliver all fallen souls like us and directly bestow upon us love of Godhead. We must take advantage of this great benediction of the great personality of Godhead. So, kindly repeat. O sinless Mother Devaki, after the expiry of 12,000 celestial years, in which you constantly contemplated me, within the core of your heart with great faith, devotion and austerity, I was very much satisfied with you. Since I am the best of all bestowers of benediction, I appeared in the same form as Krishna to ask you to take from me the benediction you desired. You then expressed your desire to have a son exactly like me. Om Agyanta Mirandasya Gnana Shakalaya Chakchur Militam Jina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanshakalpataruvyascha Kripasindubhyayacha Patitanam Pavanvyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. So it was very nice to hear that acknowledgement from a so-called worldly person that in his newsletter that here is the largest Hare Krishna community in North America. First that he acknowledged you, and then he actually in his newsletter said Hare Krishna. So actually generally Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says that we don't care for the opinion of the worldly persons. It's not of value to us. But when they have a good opinion about Krishna and Krishna's devotees, we can accept that opinion. So the birth of Lord Krishna, a very mystifying affair. I was thinking, you know, he came with these four arms, this blue complexion. And nowadays we're so driven for material perfection that, you know, if any child is born and it doesn't quite fit the mold, well, they're lucky to get born because now they have these little ways of knowing before the child is born what the child will look like. So if they see something they don't like, then they can conveniently kill the child and not have to bother with some, you know, materially imperfected human being according to their perception. Or, you know, if the child is born and there's some, you know, slight something that's not quite according to the picture, they'll have some kind of, you know, surgery to correct the problem. So I was thinking, like they have these co-joined children, so they all separate the children. Or somebody has six toes, they'll take off one. Or, you know, things. And sometimes they'll actually even have an extra arm or extra leg. They're usually kind of useless, but they're there. So then, you know, surgically they're removed. So I was thinking, well, what do? You have a kid with four arms. And a blue can, you know, you call the doctor and say, here, you know, you kind of fix him up and then bring him back to me and then everything will be okay. But, you know, Devaki was also worried about the fact that her child wasn't quite looking like everybody else, but it wasn't because she was feeling that, you know, my kid doesn't look like anyone else and was, you know, wanting to have a perfect-looking child for her own pleasure. But she was concerned that her nasty brother, Kamsa, who she didn't even call him by name, she said, you know, the son of Ugrasen, she was so disgusted with this person, so if the son of Ugrasen, you know, may come and kill him. So this was giving her great anxiety. And, sorry, but my foot has a cramp in it, so I have to adjust my leg. So she was asking him to resume his two-handed form, his ordinary form, because in that way she thought maybe she could hide him, you know, blend him in with the rest of the crowd of babies or something. I don't know where she thought she would hide him because she was in prison, maybe under her sari, but this way, though, he wouldn't call so much attention. And so she was praying very ardently like that to him. And now Krishna is responding to her prayers and letting her know a little background about how he came to be here before her. In the text 26, he mentioned that she had spent 12,000 celestial years previous to being Devaki. She was Prishnigarbha and Sapata. They appeared as his mother and father with those names, and how it happened that they got him as the son. So in that form, or in that incarnation, she was, and her husband, they were spent 12,000 celestial years performing very severe tapasya in, it says, mat atmano, in Krishna consciousness, simply engaged in consciousness of me. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, actually that's mat mana, this was actually the severe austerity. It's described how they were just standing, and I think on one leg, they were just eating the wind and dried leaves. So, you know, that's pretty austere. I don't think anybody I know, I mean, even among the most perfected yogis and most detached devotees would be able to, you know, stand like that for too long. But that wasn't even considered the severe austerity. The austerity was simply engaged, totally absorbed, fully absorbed in consciousness of Krishna. So then, as explaining how these 12,000 years is kind of an understatement, was a very long time to live on the planet. But of course, if you're in that environment where you're living for extended periods of time, just like here, we may be thinking, sometimes we're thinking, oh, time flies by so quickly. It's just, you know, what happened? All of a sudden, it's this date or that day, or all of a sudden, one day I look in the mirror and what happened? I'm old, there's wrinkles, my teeth are falling out, or I can hardly even see myself, thank God. You know, what happened? Time flew by so quickly. So, you know, just according to sometimes it's quite the opposite. It just drags on, you know, oh, when is the next minute going to happen? When is tomorrow going to get here? When will this day be over? So that can happen in either environment. There's just, according to your environment, you have perceptions of time. And the time is being dictated by the rising and setting of the sun. But the perception, according to how extended this rising and setting of the sun is and the length of time one can expect to live in a certain situation, will bring about a different perception. So we're hearing 12,000 years, we can't even relate to it. We can't even relate to 100 years, practically speaking. But for them, that was a normal situation. And I believe also in the Bible, they talk that in the time of Abraham, they were living 10,000 years. So it's not that we have a handle, you know, an exclusive handle on longevity in different atmospheres. It's understood that You know, and as they're trying to have space exploration, going to these other planets through their mechanical means. I was just reading a little note from Prabhupada. It was a whole letter about another topic, but then at the bottom he had a little note, and he just said, you know, if they haven't gone to the moon. If they had really gone to the moon, they wouldn't bother to come back here, because the moon is so much, it is a celestial place. And it's a celestial place of enjoyment. And they live a long time there, so why would they want to come back here? They haven't gone to the moon. And then, you know, other reasons, but that was one of them. And of course, the one day of Brahma, just trying to, you know, comprehend, he says many millions of years, but it's something like 4,300,000,000,000, which is what comes after a million, is a billion, and what's after a billion, is it a trillion? So I mean, it's 4,300,000,000,000. That's definitely many millions of years. So again, it's just kind of beyond our kind of comprehension. It's like, okay, it's a long time. We can just accept that. And then the idea that somebody was going to make such a huge endeavor to get Krishna as their son. I mean, I know devotees who make huge endeavors just to get anyone as their child. They have fertility issues and it's very difficult to conceive, and they go through so much difficulty just to get a child. So here is somebody that they didn't want just a child. In fact, they weren't actually even contemplating an ordinary child at all. They were actually celibates. They were great yogis, great mystics, but their yoga practice and their mysticism was not of the mundane, ordinary variety. They were completely absorbed in Krishna. And then at a certain point, they wanted to have Krishna for their son. That became their desire, their prominent desire. So to do that, then you have to undergo great austerities. And I don't imagine, you know, too many of us could imagine, just even actually, honestly, maybe a fleeting idea in the mind, yeah, wouldn't it be cool to have Krishna for a son? But, I mean, in reality, to grasp and fully imagine having Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as your son, would be, you know, something of another nature, something that we might not relate to too well, actually. And then the idea Krishna puts out, if you want to get me for your son, then one must undergo great austerities. Of course, spiritual life is based in tapasya. Without austerity, without tapasya, what to speak of get the Supreme Lord for his son? But then it's pointed out in the purport, all that is very nice, but better we just go back home, back to Godhead, because it will take so long to get Krishna as your son. It took Prishnigarbha and Sutapa over 12,000 years. And here we are, we can barely make it up to 100, and even if we do, we're in such decrepit condition, it's not a very pleasurable thing to be, you know, in this old, old body just hanging on to life, breathing some same old stale air. So if we want to have the Supreme Personality of Godhead among us, that's requiring so much energy and effort and tapasya, some penance and austerity. So better we go back to Godhead. Tvaktam deha punarjanma nayate bhavate suarjana. And then Prabhupada said, then we only need to understand him and love him. And by this love, we can very easily go back home, back to Godhead. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has very kindly come to award this very wonderful process of chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, to capture us, to offer us something that we can actually hang on to, that we can actually, through hearing, we can feel it, taste it, see it, touch it, and make spiritual advancement. And that we know, we have been given our 16 rounds. How difficult can it be? But we know sometimes it's very difficult. especially if we consider to chant 16 rounds offensively. No. But nonetheless, it is the most simple form of achieving love of Godhead. And it's explained, the more we engage in loving service to the Lord, and chanting is considered loving service to the Lord. By chanting, we are serving the Lord. One time, one devotee had abstained an injury. That devotee had been really active, always doing something, and in particular, serving the deities. And now, due to this injury, the person was a little limited. So they went to Srila Prabhupada, and they were saying, you know, what can I do? What can I do? I need some service. And Prabhupada said, yeah, now you can chant. But I need some service. Now you can chant. But I need to do something. Now you can chant. And all of us, you know, then Prabhupada said, chanting is service. So by engaging in this loving transaction with Krishna, we become closer to Krishna. And because in this day and age we are all fallen, unfortunately, but then the fortunate part is that, yes, we are fallen, but the Supreme Personality of God had appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give us directly love of God. And therefore we don't have to undergo severe penances for many thousands of years, which we couldn't do anyway. But we need just to learn this technique of loving Krishna and always be engaged in his service. And that is the actual mission of the Hare Krishna movement, not just for the few of us in this room or the few hundred of us in Ramanreti, but New Ramanreti, but for factually, you know, this is our duty to go back home, back to Godhead, our duty to engage others in Krishna's service, to encourage them also to go back to Godhead. On Wednesday, it is the disappearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So Mukhya told me, when she wrote to me, she asked, you know, if I would give the class today. And I was thinking, well, okay, but I hope it's not one of these, you know, difficult verses like fifth canto with all the calculations or something. So then I get something about like the birth of Lord Krishna, which is, you know, totally easy to understand, that the Lord is born, but he is not born. He's within Devaki's room, but he's not really within a room. He's everywhere else, too. But all of this is actually easily understood when we actually come to the platform of love of Godhead. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, our Param Guru, our grandfather, our great-great-grandfather, and so on, he has very kindly induced Srila Prabhupada to leave the land of India and come and bring Krishna consciousness to the West. And Srila Prabhupada has often said to us, the grandfather is more merciful than the father. Now, many of us can maybe remember when we were kids how we loved to go to the home of our grandparents because we could kind of like take it easy there, and you know, grandma or grandpa would take us around, and we just basically have a good time, you know. So in this case, the spiritual grandfather, he's left wonderful, wonderful teachings. And in particular, there's a small book, Amritavani, which is the immortal nectar, the divine immortal nectar, which is a compilation of many of his wonderful teachings. So I just wanted to, have just a few minutes here, share a few of these with you so we can start meditating. It's always nice in advance of an appearance or disappearance day to meditate upon the personality. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, as you know, he established Gaudiya Math, just like we have ISKCON. He established an organized religious structure because he understood that there needs to be something for people to connect to. So then what is the prime duty of ourselves, but of this institution? And he said the principal duty is to follow Mahaprabhu's instructions and to preach them to everyone. And then he said, you know, we are poor. Everyone is poor. So we should accumulate wealth. So that may sound a little strange, you know, that here's the great Acharya telling, yeah, you go out and accumulate wealth. He said we should accumulate wealth to ease our poverty. And then he explains, what is that poverty and what is that wealth? So that poverty is our disconnection from Krishna. We become kripana, miserly. So the wealth, what is that wealth? It is love of Krishna. And he explains, without the treasury of love of God, our lives are useless. So the mundane sound vibration, it fills the world. But our duty is to replace this mundane sound vibration with the transcendental sound. So I understand on Saturday there was a parade in Gainesville, is that right? Some of you went out to join that parade, huh? Oh, it was here in Alachua, okay. So, yes, I saw that sign, Christmas parade. So now there is this, you know, whole season of Christmas, which is actually a celebration of the birth of Lord Jesus. And actually there's some similarities between Krishna's birth and Christ's birth. They were both born in rather unusual situations. You know, Krishna in prison and Christ was in the, you know, the cow shed, the manger. And both had, they call it immaculate or divine conception. You know, Krishna came from the mind of Vasudeva to the heart of Devaki and then transferred to the womb. But of course he was always there in her heart. You know, he was always within her heart. And therefore, when he manifested, it was actually not that he wasn't there before, now there he was, but he actually chose to manifest in front of her. So similarly, the mother Mary and father Joseph, they had the Lord Jesus through this divine conception. And from what I understand, she was given this immaculate conception by the Lord himself. And then there she was, an unwed, pregnant mother-to-be, which in that time was really, it was the kind of thing that, you know, was pretty serious situation. And can you just imagine, you know, the deep shame that would come upon this girl? And then she had to go to Joseph and ask him if he would marry her and tell him. He wanted to marry her anyway, but then, will you marry me now? Because, you know, then she explained her situation. And what a great faith that he had to have in the words of Mary, that actually she hadn't been with another man, but she was pregnant and she was carrying the Son of the Lord. So, in another unusual situation. For the Lord just doesn't enter this world in ordinary ways. So anyway, back to the Christmas parade. There they have their little Christmas jingles. When I got out last night, I flew in from Detroit. So it's like 11:30 at night, and they're blasting. As soon as I got off the plane into your little Gainesville airport, this, you know, jingle bells, jingle bells, you know, one little stupid, sorry, song after the other. And none of them, you know, they're meant in the Christmas spirit, but the Christmas spirit would be glorifying Christ, but now it's politically incorrect to glorify God and even mention his name, so then you have all these stupid, mundane sound vibrations. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, it's our duty to replace the mundane sound vibration with the transcendental sound vibration. Otherwise, you know, why do we want to keep it to ourselves? And if we do that, then we're going to lose it, because if we're being a little secretive, then we'll also lose our taste, because our taste is enhanced when you share, because there's an explosion. You're giving, and then instead of one chanting, there's two, and then three, and then four, and then, like today, such a wonderful kirtan this morning after greeting of the deities. It reminded me of a scene from the time of Lord Chaitanya, when it was there was one description in Chaitanya Bhagavat of the Sankirtan mood. So it's saying that there were actually many learned persons who were following Lord Chaitanya. And sometimes they would see one another on the street, and immediately they would throw up their arms and begin chanting and dancing towards one another. And when they would come close to one another, they would embrace and chant and cry and chant and start dancing and even roll on the ground. And they weren't even worried, what does anybody think of us? But no. So I was seeing that wonderful mood of chanting here this morning, that Who cares what anybody thinks? And all the arms are raised, and Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. It was very wonderful kirtan. So the fundamental religious system in this age of Kali is the chanting of Hare Krishna. This is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And unless one is empowered by Krishna, one cannot successfully propagate the Sankirtan movement. So of course, by that statement, we can understand that Srila Prabhupada was specifically empowered by Krishna. And if we take to Srila Prabhupada's instructions and the instructions of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, we'll similarly be empowered. And then there will be some potency to our chanting also. And because I think the time is up, just one other little statement from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta to end that. He said, there's nothing extraordinary in this world worth coveting. In other words, so many things are trying to be forced into our consciousness. Come and you need me, buy me. You must have this, you must have that. You know, hey, if you don't have the latest iPhone, you're just, you know, actually this happened to me recently. I had gotten a new phone and another devotee came into my office and he looks and he goes, that's not the latest one. You know, like I'd committed some kind of opera that I didn't have the latest iPhone. You know, I said, what's the difference? I can get phone calls, I can even get my email, but it's not the latest one. You can do this, you can do that. Blah, blah, blah. I said, but I don't need to do those things, you know. So there's nothing extraordinary in this world or the next world worth coveting. So whenever we are not attracted to serving the Lord, when something else grabs our attention, then we should understand we have been attacked and captured by Maya, the illusory energy. So we should pray to desire, to develop the desire, only to be captured by the moon-like beauty of the toenails of Krishna's lotus feet. Hare Krishna. Time for any questions, or actually, maybe, you know, some people could add a little bit to the class. Yeah.
Hare Bol, very nice. Just to explain a little bit about the celestial years, 1,000 celestial years is 360,000 human years. So 12,000...
Say it again.
1,000 celestial years.
Yeah.
360,000 human years.
Okay.
So 12,000 would be 4,320,000 human years. And that span is from Satyug, Treta, Dwarpa, and Kaliyug. That's the span. So that long they meditated for.
Yeah. Thank you.
I have a little quick question. Do you think... Lord Jesus was actually the Supreme? I know a lot of times you like to, you know, discuss a little bit of the Bible.
Well, Srila Prabhupada himself has said, and I meet Christians who, they think Christ is God. They see no difference. And technically there's no difference between the Father and Son, except that the Father is not the Son, and the Son is, you know. But we understand Lord Krishna to be the Son of God. And Prabhupada actually made one statement. He was asked by some, I think, Franciscan fathers. Anyway, there were some monks, Christian monks. You know, do you accept Christ? Prabhupada said, oh yes. He said, I want that my disciples become Christ-like. So we accept him. And furthermore, it's understood that he is also Shakta Vaishavatar, because in order to be successful, one must be empowered by the Supreme Lord. Can you be, I'm sorry, but I have a hearing problem.
This conception Srila Prabhupada gives in his purport, that we should not focus on, this is the way I'm wording it, what you read, that we should not focus of having a son, God as a son, because that may take long time.
Yeah.
Rather, we should just focus on going back home, back to God. It will be easier by the divine mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Later on, in chapter 8 to 10, Mother Yashoda's relationship with Krishna, Same Srila Prabhupada gave a comment that one should focus to be a loving mother like Mother Yashoda, and he can meditate on how she dresses, how she looks like, and this is very easy. He can just chant and develop very quick.
Yes.
So I'm just.
No, but that's not. It's not a contradiction.
No, it's not a contradiction. Yeah. But I'm seeing it. Maybe Srila Prabhupada is a little bit partial to Vrindavan Leela of Krishna, which I see it. It's very attractive. Mahaprabhu came to give Vrindavan Leela. But it seems like here he's discouraging not to imitate the process of Mother Devaki.
Yeah.
But he does encourage to Mother Yashoda's loving to Krishna.
Yeah.
Also another point, Sanatana Goswami Pad writes that Devaki and Vasudev, they were first in Brahma's Jagna, where Sutapa and Krishna did that. In that Jagna, when Lord appeared, they did ask three times, become my son, please come as my son, I want to you have my son. Therefore, Lord takes it as a, like every word we speak to Lord, it's 100% value with the absolute truth. So they had to go through three lives.
Yes.
So we have to be very specific when we pray to.
Yes. Good point. Thank you very much for that reminder. Does anyone else have some offering or comment? I have a question. So maybe I can see somebody can give some insight. From the very beginning, Vasudeva understood that his children, if he had any, would be killed, and he had agreed to hand them over to be killed. So why would he keep having children, knowing that he would have to hand them over to certain death? So that's my question. Does anybody have? Yes, I was thinking you might.
What I heard from Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and Sanatana Goswami Pad, it convinced me, so I don't know if it will convince everybody, but I was satisfied that in order to conceive Supreme Personality of Godhead as a child, there are particular prerequisites. One is one has to stay married.
Stay what?
Married.
Stay married, yeah.
Which is not difficult. In Vedic culture. But to purify the heart, he has to give up all the six enemies that everybody is born with. Lust, greed, anger. But when I say lust, greed, anger, it seems like, okay, I can just develop the attachment to Krishna, then detachment of these six enemies will go away. But it is not explained that way. It says that they will come. The lust, greed, anger is not a anartha. It is actually a form of a deep attachment that conditioned soul has. Like Srila Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita, I think, 3rd chapter, 37 verse, in the purport he writes, that when the pure love of Godhead comes in contact with the modes of material nature, rajogun, then it transforms into lust. So that attachment is the child. So those six enemies has to come in a form of a most attachment that their parents can have. So they took the form of a, now, what they call tattvagata vichar. As per consideration of tattva, you can say, well, that was Kalnemi's, you know, next birth as a Kongsa, Hiranyakashipu's six sons came as a sons of, but those are pastimes. But tattvagata vichar is that every soul, whoever wants to have it, Krishna as a Supreme Lord, as a son, has to get rid of from their most detached attachment form, which is the sons. So they had to come to this sixth form. Voluntarily, even in this Prabhupada put Dibba Yuga here, when Vasudeva did not want to kill the firstborn, Narad Muni comes and he said, do you know the Dibba calculation of in the heaven? Kongso says, well, I don't want to kill because if the eighth child is the cause. He said, but how do you know how they count? They count 8, 7, 6. So the number 8 is the number 1 probably. So then Kongsa got fired up and he wanted to kill. So the whole idea is that any attachment that any parents has is the mostly for the children, and the enemy will come in the form. So whatever the attachment we have to give up of this world. But not, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, do not try to be detached from this world. Try to be attached to bhakti, pure bhakti. And pure bhakti has a natural tendency to produce two things, the jnana and vairagya. That is natural and that is very healthy. So this is the main reason, and I found very convincing.
All right. Thank you very much. Yes.
Also, in the Puranic Encyclopedia, it describes that the children of Devaki, they were, I don't remember exactly who they were, that's why it's a little foggy right now. It was either 8 vasus or they were cursed you will be killed, and therefore is that they had to take birth in, you know, but because they're elevated
that,
souls.
That part I understood, but I was just thinking, if I was, you know, in my mundane calculation, well, if I was his father and I knew in advance that the kids were going to be killed, like, why would I want to...
You see, he was going to kill Devaki, Kamsa, but then Vasudeva promised, look, I'm going to give you, the kids then. You know, you don't have to kill her, right? I'll give you the kids, so you kill them. So, you know, that was simple, and I mean, being a devotee, he was honest and everything. But then it was foretold that the 8th child would kill him. So Vasudeva and Devaki knew that that would happen eventually. So they just followed that.
Hare Krishna. Okay.
Ladies. Hare Krishna. Yeah, I'm following your Prabhu's last comment, thinking that Vasudev had faith in Krishna, and when the curse of Maya came on Kamsa, he was very curious. He wanted that to happen. To have that to happen, he had, of course, to have 7 children before.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing too. Vasudeva was aware that the 8th child would be Krishna. So even though he knew the other children would be killed, in order to facilitate the pastimes of the Lord, I guess I was thinking that's why he did those. Have the other children, because the whole thing was the devotees of Krishna, and they wanted to bring about this pastime. So even though he knew that those children will be killed, Krishna will come as the 8th child, and that's what they were waiting for. So I guess that's right.
I don't know.
Hare Krishna. I just thought of one as I was going out the door. You know how earlier you were comparing Krishna's birth to the birth of Lord Jesus? There's also a similar pastime in the Bible where God tells Abraham to kill his own son to prove his devotion.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are kind of universal themes, I guess.
Yeah. Anyone else?
I think it's a conscious choice. Did Prabhupada give up his family life? Who told him? It is the inside to please his group.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srinuman Nuramaneti ki jai.